Our scripture reading today is taken from the letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 12. 1 Timothy 4, beginning at verse 12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in faith, in love and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters, with absolute purity. This is the word of the Lord, and we say, thanks be to God. Friends in Jesus, loneliness is an epidemic. Even before COVID-19 became the reality in which we live, people would live in their neighborhoods and very often not know the names of those that lived around them. People would come home from school, come home from work, go straight into the house and go and start watching Netflix, but not have interaction. And people generally were lonely. Then along comes COVID-19 and we are forced to not have even the limited number of interactions that we might have had before. I know that's certainly true in my case. Four weeks ago now, my dad celebrated his 80th birthday. And all I could do was get on the phone and say, happy birthday, Dad. I couldn't shake his hand, I couldn't hug him, couldn't really be with him. It was really, really unfortunate. Loneliness is all around us. Some would say we live in an epidemic of loneliness. Not only are people lonely, people are stressed. There's all these pressures and responsibilities and fears and wondering about what's going to happen. People are unsure about the journey of life. What's the meaning of it all? And how are we to conduct ourselves so that with a modicum of dignity, we make it through our days? And the focus is so much on the individual and not on the communal that loneliness just gets exacerbated. The problem is great. We don't know who to trust. We would want to say, go to the church. And people look at the church and say, the church is just about business. It's a big business, this religion thing. Can I trust people that are operating the business of religion? And those who offer hope are sometimes corrupt. We hear the stories of preachers and spiritual leaders who are exposed as being people with severe demons and failings who have hurt others. We say, where do we go? Who do we trust? You know what's needed today? What is needed is a church that does it right. A church that has a sense of what it should be and what it needs to do and follows that and lives that genuinely and faithfully. We need to have a church that is a place of relationships that are healthy and solid and respectful. We need to have a church where there's relational outcomes that are pleasing and beneficial. We're looking for a place where emotions are recognized and allowed to be expressed, and that there's understanding and sympathy and warmth and love. We're looking for a place where we can be vulnerable with each other, where we can say what's really going on in our heart and mind and soul. We're looking for a place where we can experience rest, where it's not a place of stress, it's not a place of animosity, but a place of peace where we can be blessed. We're looking for a place where we can be led and guided and mentored so that we can become exactly the kind of people that God wants us to be. That is the kind of place that we long for. That is the kind of place that we need. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about what is required for a church to be the kind of community where people can enter in and find the tools and the transformation so they can be disciples of Jesus for the long haul. We would love it if our youth, if our children, if people that are coming from the community to experience and know what is this thing that church is all about, can discover a way, enter into a relationship with Christ in the church that allows them to be that kind of people, not just for today, not just for this year, but can be their story and their experience throughout their lives. If we want the church, if we want this church to see long-term disciples, then we need to be a church that has a multi-generational experience and life and reality. It is so, so very important for a bunch of reasons, and I'd like to just tell you about that. When we are a intergenerational community, then we are able to remember the faithfulness of God. For an example, my mother and my father both came to Canada as children. They were born in the context of World War II in Europe. And their first memories are of Nazis in the streets and of deprivation. Both of their families came to Canada not speaking a word of English, having very few prospects and hardly any money. And they came and they found a church. A church in which they could grow, in which they could learn, in which that they could serve. They found a spiritual community that blessed them and their family. And both my mom and my dad have shared with me how the church was a source of blessing to them. And I stand as a person who has that story as my story. And I am encouraged and I am inspired to remain faithful to the Lord of the church, who was a great blessing to my family. Some of us are going to be experiencing that story at the beginning. Some of us are saying, I have just found this Lord, and my story is now the story that I can pass on to my children. And I can share with them the transformation and the blessing, the love that I have found in the community of God's people with the Lord Jesus at the center of it. We are strong when stories are told and passed on and shared. Second thing that I would like to share with you about the reason that an intergenerational church is so important is that it allows young believers to be examples and instructors of the older ones. Remember the story that Jesus was with his disciples, and the discussion was all around, what kind of faith must we have? How much knowledge do we need? How mature do we need to be in the faith? And Jesus called a child to him, and he said, kid, child, come here. And he had that child stand in the middle of all these imposing disciples, these people learning to be spiritual leaders in their own right. And he said, okay, all of you, look at this. This child who believes, this child who has a faith that is simple and pure and clean, this is what you must aspire to. Be like this child. And isn't it true that as we get older, we have experiences, some are good, lots aren't, and we become jaded or we become cynical because of any bad thing that's happened? Yet we look at a child and we hear them sing in Sunday school, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And you say to them, do you love Jesus? And they say, well, of course I love Jesus. And they love Jesus with a beauty and a purity that humbles wizened old people like me. We can learn so much from children. Young adults, too, have an understanding of culture, an understanding of the issues facing society that we who are a little longer in the tooth might not understand, probably don't. If we want to understand our world, we who are older must listen and gain insight from the young. We have to respect our youth. A healthy church, a church that is equipping people for long-term, lifelong service and faith, is going to do that. Another thing I would like to point out is that a healthy and active and vibrant and long-lasting church is going to be one that honors the older ones. We are called to honor our mother and father. And on this Father's Day, certainly we want to salute our dads. But all of our parents and all those who watch over us, who nurture us, who guard us, who correct us and guide, that we must have a posture of respect towards them. Because those who are older have experience that informs them and gives them wisdom. We would be a poor community if we didn't have the benefit of those more advanced in years, more experienced in living the Christian way. let us not fail to respect those who are older. Being a multi-generational church allows us to do something really beautiful, to function and demonstrate the family of God. You know what families are? Families are grandparents and grandchildren. Families are kids and moms and dads. Families are brothers and sisters and nephews and nieces and aunts and uncles. And all of this making a family. It is when we are a multi-generational community that we demonstrate the breadth of God's calling. And we who are young have a relationship with those who are old. And those that are old look on their children, these middle-aged people, and love them. And all together we embrace and we interact in a way that shows that God has made us to be a family. If we were only the old, we would be a very sad family indeed. If we were only the young, we would be so much poorer than if we are this multi-generational community. To mirror the kingdom, to demonstrate the family of God, we need each other. And we should value each other. And finally, being an intergenerational church allows us to go into places where otherwise we might not be able to. If we were only young, how can we enter in and influence places that are focused on the elderly? If we were only elderly, how could we have any influence in the schools, for example? Because we are diverse in every area, including age, we have the opportunity to be ministering agents all throughout society. The Apostle Paul wrote, and he said, old men, when you're interacting with them, treat them all like your dads. Young men, treat them all like your brothers. And I think it's not improper to say, and for the kids, treat them as your nephews and nieces or sons and daughters. Let the old ladies, let them be your moms or your grandmothers. Let the younger ones be your sisters. And as together, we function as the family of God, celebrating our intergenerational diversity, we will bring glory to Him. So let's do it. Let us honor each other and so give glory to God. Amen.